Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. At this point in the year, most of us have put away our gardening tools and packed up our lawnmowers for the winter. But that doesn't mean that the gardening has ended. It's just moved locations. With the impending winter, many gardeners have brought their plants inside where growing conditions can be much more difficult. Gardening expert Melinda Myers joins me every month to give her tips and tricks for improving our plants. This month, we explore how to keep outside plants alive indoors. Melinda Myers, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Well, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure, Joy.
What are some of the big things to keep in mind when you're changing a plant's environment to begin with?
You know, whether you're bringing them in from summering outside, and hopefully you've done that a while ago since we've had some pretty cold temperatures, or you purchased it at a greenhouse or garden center and you're bringing it home, the environment's different. The light is usually less intense from outside or a greenhouse indoors. The humidity is much lower. We've turned our heat on for winter, so that dries the air. And so our plants need to adjust to that new environment. And sometimes it can be pretty frightening as the gardener, because one way plants do that is they drop their leaves. Those leaves that were used to highlight conditions align their cells in such a way that they actually block out excess light. So we bring them inside, there's less light, they're blocking out some of that light, so the leaves drop. The good news is they usually put on new leaves that are more shade tolerant and better adapted to the lower light situation. So one thing we can do is when we bring plants to their new home is try to mimic the light as best as possible. So the brightest, sunniest window you have, usually the southern window in your house, and if it can't stay there, then gradually, after a couple weeks, move it to a little bit less light and a little bit lower light until it reaches its final destination. Or employ artificial lights to help supplement natural light. And LED lights are so much more affordable and they're energy efficient that it really opens up possibilities for home gardeners to grow plants that maybe you couldn't grow because of low light situations. So adapting to light is one of those issues.
I uprooted a couple of plants because it didn't seem likely that they'd survive the winter, and I wanted to keep them going. But I did take them directly from the soil. Of course, you mentioned light is a big issue. What are some of the issues when you're moving something that was directly in the ground, in the soil, into a pot?
Okay, you like challenges and you're not alone, because I know many gardeners that do. We can't stand to lose those plants over winter. And so one of the challenges is growing a plant in soil in the ground is different than when we take that same soil and put it in a container. It doesn't drain as well as those artificial potting mixes. So one, we stress the plant because you've left part of the roots behind. Even if you do a good job of transplanting, you just can't get them all. And then we're taking that garden soil and putting it in a pot, and it won't drain as well. So whenever possible, if you can either wash some of that garden soil off, so you're almost bare rooting the plant, or at least reducing the amount of garden soil that goes into that new container, and then using a quality potting mix to grow it. Potting mixes are usually soilless, and that's where they drain better. So they're made of compost, peat moss, maybe some bark, vermiculite or perlite for aeration and drainage. And so that's going to help. If they're already in that garden soil in a pot, which you're probably not alone. Many people are going, oh no, I didn't do that. Just you're going to have to adjust your watering. And that's true for anything, even if they were growing in containers and you brought them inside. Because of the lower light, the lower humidity, our air is dry, they're going to dry out differently than they did growing in the ground or in a pot outside. So use your finger to check the moisture, water thoroughly. Pour off any excess that collects in the saucer, and then use your finger and stick it in the top inch or two of soil to see how it's drying out. Now, if you've got it in garden soil, it's probably going to hold the moisture a lot longer, and you may need to eventually do some repotting if things don't go well. Things like cacti and succulents like to go dry, even drier in the winter, and tropical plants like slightly moist soil, and herbs, if you brought an herb plant inside too, most of them can tolerate slightly dry soil, but you want to water them about the time, you know, that soil's just starting to dry. And one of the things that I see happen quite often for people who tend to underwater their plants, they often let the potting mix get too dry. It pulls away from the pot. And then when you water, the water goes over the top, down the side, and out the bottom and doesn't wet that potting mix. So you need to stick that pot in some warm water, fill a saucer or shallow container, sit the pot in there for about a half hour, an hour to re-wet the soil, and then remember that you need to water a little more frequently.
Something I've seen some people do with indoor plants especially is instead of watering them above, as you just mentioned, you know, where the water will kind of sit on top of that soil and not really penetrate it, they'll feed it from the bottom. So they'll put it in a dish. Is there a benefit to doing something like that?
Yeah, one of the benefits, you often see that done with African violets. So with African violets and Streptocarpella, a relative that's becoming very popular, they're very sensitive to cold water on their leaves. And so a lot of African violet growers will do that. They'll use tepid water, and you could water from above, or they'll set it in a container to avoid getting water on the leaves. Now, the problem with that is if you continually water that way, salts from the water, fertilizer, often build up in the soil. And you sometimes see a white crusty substance at the top of the pot. And that can damage the petioles, the leaf stem of African violets, and can be detrimental to any plants. So if that does happen, just scrape that off and then water thoroughly from above. Wait 20 minutes, water thoroughly again. Wait 20 minutes and water again. That's leaching those salts out of the soil so they don't damage your plant. Either way works. It's kind of finding what works best for the way you tend to garden. I honestly don't have the patience for that, so I typically water from the top. And then I put pebbles in the saucer under my plants, or I group them together, which helps with humidity, put pebbles in that flat or whatever container I've got them setting on, and then any excess water collects in those pebbles, but the pots are elevated above the water, and as that water evaporates, it increases the humidity around the plant. And so what's nice is I reduce the workload and I make a better environment for the plants as well.
And that gets to a really important part of this conversation, which is humidity and making sure that you have enough, making sure that you don't have too much. What's a good rule of thumb there? Because it seems like every plant is a little different.
You know, one of the things to keep in mind is where they're native to. So tropical plants, typically in our homes, we can't have too much. Otherwise, we'd have problems with our home. And so if we group our plants together, put them on the gravel tray, those are some ways to really increase humidity. A popular holiday plant is spike moss, and it's not a moss and it's not a fern, but it likes indirect light and very high humidity. And I have to admit, I've killed one already. And so putting it in a terrarium, if you have problems getting enough humidity in your home or around your plants, growing some of those in terrariums. Or there's an old-fashioned Wardian case, which is just kind of like a terrarium, but it lifts off. It's just glass and metal, and it sets over the plant, and that increases it. Cacti and succulents like lower humidity, as you can guess. They'll usually thrive in our home conditions. They like cooler temperatures and drier soil in the winter. So, you know, if you've got a room that tends to stay cooler, that's a great place to put your cacti and succulents, and you might even get them to flower in late winter, giving them those kind of growing conditions. And so mostly we're fighting with increasing the humidity with most of our plants by grouping them together, or the gravel tray or terrariums for those that really like it humid. The good news is there's a lot of reliable sources on the internet, whether it's a university website. There's some things on my website as well. And usually if you're buying them from a garden center or florist, check the plant tags, and hopefully they have some good information to give you some guidance on light and soil moisture as well as humidity to help you have success growing your plants.
You mentioned earlier that a lot of the time when you bring in a plant from outside, it's going to lose a lot of leaves. And I think anybody who grows plants indoors has seen dead leaves on their plants. How should you handle that?
Right. So a couple things is one of the things with the gardening indoors or out is just kind of tracking any changes that happen. Obviously, moving it into your home from a greenhouse or your outside garden, that's a pretty big change. And you're going to expect to see some things. But you might also see leaves turning yellow or developing spots or dropping because of insects or diseases. And if our plants are growing outside, often insects tag along when we move them indoors. Now, outside, the growing conditions are so good that our plants usually can fight off or resist many of the insect damage and disease problems. But indoors, because the growing conditions are challenging, we often see those insects multiplying. They like it hot and dry, and their higher populations cause more damage. And so we want to look for signs for insects, for example, aphids and mites and whitefly and scale and mealybugs suck plant juices, secrete the excess in a clear sticky substance. And that's often how I have people calling me about that clear sticky substance, and they don't even see the insects right away. And so that honeydew they secrete is a good indication that you should start looking closer. Many of these can be managed by insecticidal soap, which is organic, doesn't have long residuals, so you need to do repeat applications. I like something like Summit Year-Round Spray Oil, also organic, but it kills all stages, eggs, the immature, and the adults, which insecticidal soap doesn't. And it's organic. I have a cat that likes to eat plants and grandkids that come to visit. So, you know, I choose to use something safe. And so first finding that pest and then looking for the best control option and then deciding, do you want to go with something organic or something synthetic? But either way, read and follow label directions carefully.
To leave it on this note, what are, in your opinion, the biggest things to keep in mind that we haven't talked about when you're trying to keep an outdoor plant alive inside?
So, you know, other than light and water and humidity, temperature is also important. Most houseplants tolerate normal room temperature, but they don't like drafts of hot air from your register or cold air from the window door, you know, or your patio doors. And so keeping them out of drafts. I have plants in my office. My window faces west, but boy, it gets windy and cold in the winter, and I have to move my plants back a couple feet. Otherwise, they suffer and I'll sometimes have yellowing leaves or wilting, or they'll even turn a funky gray-green. And so never close them between a curtain and a blind in your window, because that's a lot colder too. So always, you may have to set things back a foot or two from the windows you'd normally place them in, even though they've got great sunny light coming in. Your south window's best in the winter, but you know, I use the west, east, and north wherever I have light coming in and adjust my plants. The lower light tolerant ones in the north. But again, check for drafts. You may need to set them back. You may need to move them away from your register as well. And if you do transport, say you're buying new plants from the garden center, make sure they wrap them and you move them in a warm car. Never leave them sitting in the car as you run errands or overnight, because that could be a death of your plant, and you're starting out with a dead plant is never a good thing.
All right. Well, Melinda, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Thanks so much. And please tune in. I have webinars on selecting and care of holiday plants coming up next year, house plants. And all my past webinars will be on demand through the end of the year. And hopefully that will help people have great success growing.
Melinda Myers is an expert in all things gardening and the author of many books on the topic, including The Midwest Gardener's Handbook and Small Space Gardening. Myers is also a regular Lake Effect contributor, and you can find our past conversations with her at wuwm.com.